thrilled to be here. I know that you're excited to be in the house of the Lord too, but I couldn't resist that. We are looking at, well, if I'd get started here, we could do this, right? We are looking at the title of our lesson as being for His purpose. Did you ever really want to know what your purpose was? Do you still want to know what your purpose is? Have you worried about not knowing what your purpose is? All of the above. I can raise my hand to all of those. Our focus thought for today's lesson is, I will commit my life to God so He can use me for His purpose. Our focus verse, which will kind of give you an idea of what we're going to be talking about a little bit today, is in Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. Luke chapter 1, 38. And at the end of what happened in this story right here, this scenario that happened in Mary's life, this is what she said. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed. And then the truth that is to be brought out here is that God uses committed people to accomplish His purpose in this world. He has a purpose throughout the world. If you've spent any time in this book at all, you know that God started this book and ended this book with a purpose. And really, there was a lot of things in there, but one purpose. Just one. To reconcile His favorite creation, the one He spent the most time with. Because you remember, He spoke everything. All of the beauty that we sit and look and drive through, the awe of what God has done and what God created, all of that, He just spoke, and His word created all of that. But it was us. It was Adam that He got down. I see it in my mind that He got down on His knees. And He formed us. Now, He might not be down on His knees, but He formed each and every one of us. Lord Jesus, thank You for the opportunity to look at Your word today. God, I pray that this lesson would not be me, but You speaking to our hearts and our lives. And God, help us to realize the significance of our purpose in You. We give You glory and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. So in today's lesson, we are talking about commitment. Have you ever made a commitment? Yeah. If you're sitting beside a spouse, you made a commitment. If you have children, you've made a commitment. Especially if you went through the process of bringing them before the Lord and committing yourself to raising them in His ways. We have made other commitments. Some of us may have signed on a dotted line and said, yes, we're going to do this. If you were ever a part of any military service, you signed a dotted line and you said, I belong to you, to whichever branch of the military that was. And you do whatever they say. And if you contradict it or throw a fit about what they're telling you to do, you're going to be in trouble. Because they own you. I don't know anything about that personally, but I have a long history in my family, and my son is serving in the Air Force right now. So there are commitments. Maybe you have signed a commitment to pay every month for what you drove here today, the place you live, if you haven't paid it off yet. So we have a lot of commitments that we make. And being here today, I would say that everyone I can look at here, and hopefully those that are watching online, we have made a commitment to Him. So we're talking about commitment. Commitment. Obligation, another word you could use for that. Dedication. Allegiance, my loyalty. Not all of our commitments are wrapped up in allegiance or loyalty, but there are many of them that are. Our commitment means those can mean those things. Dedication. I looked at that word, too, and I said, The dictionary app on my phone is the closest dictionary I got to, so. Dedication. Not the first definition, but I think it was the second. It said set apart or reserved. So I'm reserving myself for something. I am setting myself apart for something. Isn't that what God wants us to do in this relationship with Him? He wants us to set ourselves apart and be different than those that we are around. And then the last word that I looked at in the context of this thought today about being committed to His purpose is actually the word purposeful. To be purposeful is to be determined. Stubborn? You might think, and we might say, that stubbornness is not a good thing. And in many ways, it's not a very good thing to be stubborn. But there are certain situations where we need to be stubborn or we need to be determined that this is going to happen in my life when it's for Him. I'm going to make sure that I'm doing. Another word for purposeful is resolute. This is it. This is what I'm doing. So, looking back at Luke 1, the context of the lesson is out of Luke 1, 26 through 38, and then again at the end in 46 through 55. If you were looking at the lesson ahead of time, that was where they had showed you to read out of. So we know in that context that Mary was a very young woman. She was, in every intent and purpose, married, except physically. She was married to Joseph. And God knocks on her door. She's just a young lady. She would have not probably thought of herself as anyone special. Small little town in Galilee. And Galilee didn't have the reputation that Judah did. It was not quite as bad as being from Samaria, but pretty close. Because did anything good ever come out of Nazareth? That was the opinion of the people. Nothing good ever comes out. So a young lady, and God knocks on her door. By the angel Gabriel. And he proposes to her that this and that will happen in your life. Now, because she was betrothed, she had just an inkling of agreeing to this, what it would mean. Her reputation was going to go down the tubes. Joseph could put her away. Actually, push come to shove, she could have been killed. There was law that said she should have been stoned because of the action, the decision, the commitment that she was looking at making. Those are serious consequences that could have happened. But long range, she really didn't have any idea what would come out of making this commitment. When we made our commitment to the Lord, do you remember the first time God started wooing you and knocking on the door of your life? There's some awesome testimonies sitting here. But there was a point that God said, I want you. And his love drew you to him, and it brought you to a place that you made a commitment. Is that the last time you have committed your life to God? Oh, no. Better not be. You might be in trouble if that was the last commitment you made to God. Because life happens to us, and we need to continually renew our commitment to him. That we are going to be purposeful. So Gabriel says that this is how it's going to happen because she really wasn't, I don't want to do this to the angel. And I know I'm paraphrasing. But she just said, well, I don't understand. How's this going to happen? And the angel said, well, God, the Spirit of God, will overshadow you, and you're going to be expecting a child. And this child is a very special child. And what did she say? Here I am. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. What you have just said, I want it to happen. And I, in that simple statement, what she really said was, it doesn't matter what happens to me, go ahead, I will commit to this. It doesn't matter what's going to happen to me. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. We don't need another Savior, so it's not going to be this commitment. We have our Savior. We can have relationship with him. But God still looks for a commitment. And we are to be committed to his purpose. We've also all made commitments to, like we started here with, we've made commitments to other things in our lives. And we can get in some pretty severe trouble by neglecting the commitments that we have made. But this commitment that we make with God has great benefits. Wonderful benefits. We are experiencing the benefits of making this commitment right now. Even as life happens to us, we are still experiencing the benefits, and we are still looking for the greatest benefit of this commitment. We're going to be with Him. Yesterday in my Bible reading was 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Do you know what that is? It ends with, therefore, comfort one another with these words. We are going to be with Him one of these days, and it's going to be very, very soon. And yes, I have been hearing that statement, it's going to be very, very soon, since I was 13. When I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And so, we're still looking. But, I can't imagine that it would be much longer. I can't imagine that it would be much longer. Who can you think of, others that are in this book, that made a commitment to God and didn't really know where it was going to go? Thoughts? Who? Paul. Mm-hmm. I still can't get past the fact that Paul, because we talk about how that we have a choice in our relationship. Now, I know Paul probably had a choice, but it didn't look like a very obvious one to me. He's on his way. He's committed and he's dedicated. And God knocks him flat on the ground and blinds him. Now, yes, he did ask who it was. Maybe that was his choice. But, yes, Paul, he had no idea where that was going to go and what was going to change and happen in his life. Who else? Samson's mother. All right? All right? Anyone else can think of God asked something of someone and they had to make a commitment before they knew? Ruth was making a commitment, absolutely. Everyone so far has mentioned someone besides what I wrote down. Yes, Sister Annette. Joseph. He absolutely made a choice. He didn't have to go ahead with that marriage. I can't imagine that he would have gone to the point that he would have had her stoned. But he could have just tucked the whole thing away. Sorry? Moses, absolutely. Moses, when he stood up for his people, had no idea where he was going to end up. Brother. Abraham. There, we finally got to one I wrote down. Now, granted, I only have four names here, but everyone. Pretty much everyone who's made a commitment. But the ones that they talk about, Abraham was called and he chose to go on a path. He had no idea where he was going. I'm going to show you. I'm going to take you to a land. Okay, I'm just going to start walking. Joshua. He had a little more idea of where he was going, but not really what was going to happen to him or how it was going to happen. But in the end of the book of Joshua, he said, as for me and my house. Mm-hmm. I don't want to cut anybody else off. I'll finish the other names if, yes, Sister Phoebe. Noah. He had a big choice. He's not on my list either. I'm telling you, I didn't write a very extensive list. I think you could almost write down most of the names in here. Yes. Absolutely. Had to make a choice. Isaiah made a very distinct choice in Isaiah chapter 6. When presented with the need, send me. I'll do it. No idea what it means, but I'm going to do it. And Jeremiah, oh my. He said in chapter 1, God let him know that you were going to do this. When you were conceived, I put this in you. You had a purpose. You have a purpose. We all have a purpose. I think, my opinion here, that we get stuck on the specifics of his purpose. We get all wrapped up and I don't know, and on the specifics of what is our purpose for you, God. But it's not that hard. Are there specifics? Yes. But God just kind of leads us to those things like he led all of the people that we mentioned. All of the people that we brought out just now had no idea. And they said yes and they started doing. A very wise man told me one time, my dad, told me that this is how you find the will of God in your life. You just get busy doing what you see around you that needs to happen. And his analogy to that was, did you ever try to turn a car around that wasn't running? You have to be doing something to move. Just like cranking the wheel on a car to make it turn without it turned on is really hard. Now, I have driven. How many have driven the power steering by Armstrong? Those cars that were way back there. Did you notice that the steering wheels on those cars are much bigger than the steering wheels in a car nowadays? Oh, yeah. Absolutely, Char. It's like, and if you try to do that with one of the smaller steering wheels because the power steering isn't working, much harder. You're too young? Okay. I wish I could say I could take you somewhere and let you experience that. Because I think tractors even have power steering now. And air conditioning and all kinds of things. Oh, yeah. So God's will or his purpose or what our purpose for him is not as hard as we think it might be. Because what we get wrapped up in are the gory details. And he just wants us to do. He just wants us to start doing something. Abraham had to make a step. Joshua had to make, I'm going to do this. And then get out in front of the people and say, this is what we need to do next. Each and every one of us start in finding our purpose in him by just starting doing. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Some of you may already know what this is. This is part of our commitment. This is one of the things that all of us, did you hear that? All of us do this. No matter what, this, we do this. We should do this. We need to do this. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and this is the first and great commandment. This is it. Got to love God with everything. Most of the time, that's really, really easy. But there are times that we think, what was that for, God? Or, God, I don't like that. Because life is happening. Sometimes God really does have something to do with that, and other times it's just life. But we, if we're not careful, get angry at God and say, I'm done. But no matter what, God chose us. And I've never read anywhere here that it was going to be easy. No, as a matter of fact, could be harder. Probably going to be harder. Because we're in this world. And this world wants nothing to do with God. There are few individuals, a lot more individuals lately, but there are individuals that are interested in what we have and what we're doing, but the world as a whole wants nothing to do with God. This is the first and great commandment. And then the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you look in Scripture just a bit more, you will come across the question, well, who's my neighbor? Oh, let me get out of this. Oh my, I don't want to love my neighbor. It's too hard to love my neighbor. But God, you don't understand what they did. God said, love them. Some people, it's really easy to love with just the love that we have. But you have to realize, and this isn't in my notes, but it just popped in my, anyway. Do you know why it's love God first? Because we need this before we can do this. Because our love is very fickle. The love that we're capable of without relationship to Him is very fickle. Just look at divorce rates, at children that are walked away from. And that's a natural love. That is a choice love in the marriage circumstance, and it is a natural, almost immediate love that happens when a child is born into your family. That just happens. And usually it starts happening before that baby is even born. You love that child. That's natural love. We love our parents. We love our family. We can love a lot of things. But that's what comes natural to us. Love our neighbor isn't always natural. No. And then we could say, who is my neighbor? Who is it that I have to love? Well, it is the folks around you. But it goes beyond that. Our neighbor is whoever God puts in our path. And we know that in that story that Jesus related when somebody asked that question, that it was the neighbor, the one that was being neighborly. Was the one that nobody expected to be the neighborly one. And the Samaritan man, was neighborly to a man that grew up hating him because of who he was. Doesn't it make us wonder why Jesus said that we are to love our enemies? That's what happened in that story of the Good Samaritan. There was love being poured out on an enemy. And there was a change that happened, I'm sure, in both of those lives because of that circumstance and situation. So who is our neighbor? And then the last verse, verse 40, says, on these two commandments, just loving God and loving others as we love ourselves, on those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything. We have to let God give us his love. We have to have God's love in order to do this. But it's just loving. That's our purpose. We are to love. Love those that God puts in our lives. Love them. Love even the unlovable. And then, 10 minutes, okay. Acts 17 and 28. Acts 17 and 28. For in him, where? In him. In him. What do we do in him? We live. We move. And have our being in him. As certain also of your own poets have said, this is Paul talking to the wise men there, when just right after he had said to them previously, hey, you have this tomb here that says to the unknown God, let me tell you about him. And he got invited to go visit and share with all of the wise men of the time. Because in that time, all of the teachers, they got around and they just hashed everything out all the time. Nothing was barred from their conversations. They wanted to know. And Paul ends up saying that this God that I told you about, that in him you live. That's, I have breath. I'm living. I'm just doing. That breath is in him. Move. Was there an alarm this morning that went off and said, yep, that foot has got to come out of the bed. And then the day starts. If you're like me, once the foot is out of the bed, the day is running away from me. Move. You move in him. Every part of your day. Sitting at the table and putting some nourishment in your body. You do that for him. And the very essence, we have our being. The very essence of us has to be in him. And you're right, Brother Mike. Without that, you will never find the specifics of a purpose. So the easy part is just being in him. Loving. Loving him and loving those around us because he gives us the ability to love our neighbors. And make sure that every aspect of our life is in him. We don't probably have time, but maybe for a couple of thoughts about this. But I wrote a question down here, and I said, what things do we have from being in him? We have time for a couple. What do you have in him? We have righteousness in him. Peace. Joy. Mercy. Hope. We have a strong tower. So let me give you an assignment. Whether it's your phone or you go to a concordance, you know, the big book. I still like books. But if in a hurry, I am getting better on my phone. Do a word search on that. What do you have in him? What does he give you when you're in relationship with him? It's an awesome study. It's incredible what we have in him. Many of the things here were mentioned. I have one more statement, and then because of what happened to me on the way driving to Sunday school this morning, I have a story. My last statement is when we are in him, we receive and have many things. But he wants us to be. I capitalized that word, be. He wants us to be in him and fulfill our purpose. That's what this lesson is about. Being in him. And these two things, loving and being, are the things that all of us have to do. And our specifics are different. Our specific purpose will, it'll all be different. We may intersect at times, but our direct purpose will be different. But we all have this purpose, to love and to be in Him. I had the car playing my playlist that, thanks to my dad loading a whole bunch of stuff on there, and you know, all kinds of genres of music, and anyway, he, and my sister said, caveat here, that not every song on that list Dad put on there. So it's a conglomerate of the family. But the song Special Unspoken Request by Greg McCool played on my shuffle, because I don't play them in order. I always have it on shuffle. That song came up. And let me tell you, and I'll try to do it really quickly. This family that God chose for me and put me in, and that's a long story, and I'm not going to go into it right now. But one thing I learned and knew and rested in is that my grandma and Grandpa Reed, every single day of their married life, the last thing they did before they got in bed was read a chapter out of this book and got on their knees and prayed for every family member. So when God said, "This is your family," I knew from that moment on that my name was mentioned every day. Okay, well, that's just introducing the story. Last Sunday night, in Arthur, Illinois, a lot of family said, because my dad was going to be preaching that service, said, oh, we're coming. And a person that I knew, because every time I went to Sullivan, Illinois, which is where we were for that service, every time I went to Sullivan, Illinois, when I spent time with my grandparents, Grandma Reed would say, "Donna, do you have time to drive me to Decatur?" And I said, "Sure, Grandma, we can go to Decatur." And so I would drive her to Decatur, and we had one purpose in Decatur. We were going to a nursing home, and we were going to go see Aunt Margie, my grandma's sister. She had crippling rheumatoid arthritis and was going to spend the rest of her life in that nursing home. And she was a woman of God, and she had three children. I had never met the children, but in that service Sunday night, her two daughters came to that service, who, when they were young, lived for God and are not now. And the middle child, and I'm not sure if he is still alive, but his son. So Aunt Margie's grandson. So those three people, I had never met them before. And after the message was preached, my aunt came to the youngest of those children and came to her, and she's got a lot of health stuff going on and hasn't lived for God for a really long time. And my aunt went to her and said, "Penny, do you want to go get prayed for? It's up to you. You don't have to." And she walked to the altar and prayed. And a little bit after that, that grandson walked to the altar and had been away from God for a long time, living a life that you would say, they don't have a chance. And I'm not going to say any more. There's no way that this one is going to come back to God. but he walked to the altar and prayed through to the Holy Ghost. And I can tell you that as long as my grandmother was alive, and as long as his grandmother was alive, that his name and Penny's name was mentioned in prayer, God, please bring them back. And are you a representation of a special unspoken request? Because sometimes our requests that we raise our hands, we're not going to say what's going on. But God knows what's going on. And so, if you don't know what your purpose can be as simple as praying every day for those that God puts in your life, those that have walked away. A purpose to love and just be in Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm looking forward to service in Jesus' name.